Okay, I'd like to convene the Finance Committee, and this may be our final committee meeting, but as you know, we've had a few that have been called rather quickly, but at any rate, this is a final must-do bill at this point in time, which is the LTCMR bill. We've got the minutes from May the 15th, 2008. That's Tim Murphy. You were here fairly early. Would you like to move the minutes?
No.
You weren't here early.
Weren't
you?
I'm reading them, and I moved the adoption of the minutes as they were printed.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Representative McGinnis, the first motion.
Thank you, Chair. Members, my voice sounds terrible. It's hay fever season, so I feel fine. I move the Environment and Natural Resources Finance Division report for House File 2745, First Committee Engrossment.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Wagenius?
I move Senate File 2492, Second Engrossment, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, the motion is before us. And now I think you're going to want to amend that.
Yes. Thank you. I would move to delete the Senate language and insert the language from House File 2745, First Committee Engrossment.
Okay, that motion is before us, and what we're doing is putting the House File language then in the Senate file. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Guineas?
I move House File 2745. Do you want to start with the amendments right now, or shall I describe?
Why don't you give us a quick overview? Unless there's some author, there are a couple of author's amendments. Would you want to put those on to put the bill in the order that you would like, or do you want to wait? That's your call.
Why don't I wait? Just because I can tell you these are probably not complex amendments, but I first want to tell you, for those of you who have not had the privilege of working with LTCMR, I have, and with me is Susan Thornton, who is the director, who knows all, and I will not claim to know all. So I'm going to have to call on her for lots of help. But I will tell you about the process for getting to where we are right now. LTCMR has approximately $22 million to spend each year, and we made requests for proposals with some highlighted areas where we wanted proposals, and we can get into that in a little bit later. In the end, folks come in with their proposals. They are ranked in several iterations, staff does a first cut, and then members do a first cut, and then we do second and third and fourth cuts to get down to the amount. Obviously, there's far more proposed than we have money for, so that's always the challenge. In this particular bill, there are 36 of those proposals. I believe there are more than 100, is that right? 118 proposed, and in this bill are 36 of those 118. The outcomes I will just list in growth: land acquisition for $12 million in fee and easement for approximately 3,400 acres. Number two, restoration of $2.5 million for an estimated 12,900 acres. Information and analysis, $5,700,000 for soil survey, biological services, and geological atlases. Research at $2 million and education at $1.2 million. And that is the summary of what is in here. Did they have in the packet? If you have much in the way of summary sheets, I don't think at this point in the session you probably want me to go over and talk about those. And with that, I would like to move my amendments. The first one is A3, and I would like to move the amendment A3. And I'm going to ask Ms. Thornton to explain that amendment, because it's just expanding the dates for some of the projects, essentially.
Okay, Representative Guineas moves the A3 amendment.
Mr. Chair and members, the A3 amendment is subdivision 16, what we call carry forward. The trust fund appropriations have a very discrete beginning and ending date, and sometimes there are circumstances where we need to come back to the legislature to extend the amount of time available to for these projects to be fully implemented. So being extended for, and they may only need a few months beyond June 30th, 2008, which is the ending date of these appropriations before you, previous appropriations. But Department of Finance will only allow us to extend for a full year. So actually, some of them may actually only need a few months, if you will. On line 1.8, this is a 2005 appropriation, the Paul Bunyan State Trail. It's an acquisition at DNR, and they need just a few more months to ensure that that acquisition within the city of Bemidji is able to take place. The line 1.13 is to the Department of Agriculture, and this actually was supposed to be a three-year research project. We had a drafting error when we first appropriated this, so this also needs one additional year. Line 1.2 is Metropolitan Regional Park, and that's extending the availability of a 2005 appropriation for particularly a portion of allotment to Anoka County for trail acquisition. Starting on line 1.24 through 2.2 is, and also then line 2.7 and 2.13, that's extending the availability of two appropriations. One was done in 2003, another in 2005, for the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. And that's a situation where there is a piece of property they've been negotiating over. The owner died, and it's going to take a little while longer to further negotiate with the heirs. And then back up to 2.3, this is a research project of which we're extending the availability of time. The first 2 years were drought years, and they need some additional field season.
Okay, any discussion on the amendment?
Can you tell me how in lines 1.20 to 1.23, the amount of money that is unexpended at this particular time? Of the original appropriation.
Mr. Chair and Representative Solberg, this would extend $525,000, and the original intent was that this would be part of the non-federal match for a trail project, and the other part of that match was in the bonding bill, and it was vetoed, so they need some more time to try and figure out some alternatives.
None of this $525 has been expended, is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, correct.
And Mr. Chair, just to follow up then, do they have any plans for finding the other parts of the money? And how much do they need to match the federal money?
Ms. Farnham.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, my understanding is they are in conversations with MnDOT on what some alternatives might be to phase in the trail project, and I do not know off the tip of my tongue as to what those additional dollars are that they need with the phasing in. They're in discussions.
Okay,
I'd be happy to get back to members on that.
Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Representative Guineas?
Yes, I would move amendment A2. This is correct some inartful drafting, and I have to take responsibility for that inartful drafting. What this says is when folks do restoration, they use it to the best available feed source. If that's not there, then they go to the next available feed source and then kind of down the line. And that was the intention of the original, but it was not very well done. I think this is better language.
Yes. Okay, the motion then is before us to adopt the A2 amendment. Any discussion on this one? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion carried. That's all of the author's amendment. Any comments before we take additional amendments? I'll just take them in the order that I happen to have them here then.
I just have a question before we start on amendments.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering, as I read all the fiscal amendments, what is there some type of a cap in the bill? It looks like Representative Junkie has one that, you know, reduces one and then inserts a different number, but some of these just look like they spend money. Is there any type of cap in this fund, or do we have to have fiscal balance? How does that work? So as we make an informed decision on voting, is it kind of a free vote that we're...
No, it's not. There's a set number that's available, and maybe Ms. Thornton can let us know what was available and what the bill spent up to this point.
Mr. Chair, I represent a separate member. The amount available, what's available each year for expenditure from the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund is 5.5% of the market value of the ending June 30th of the year before the biennium. This year, there's $22,866,000 available from the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund for expenditure, and that's what's in the bill before you. In addition, there's $86,000 from the Great Lakes Protection account that is available, and then there are also two appropriations within here that transfer previous appropriations where the projects were potentially not coming to completion, and in fact one they came in and they said we declined the appropriation, and so that was transferred to a different project within the package before you. And another one, it was money that was appropriated in 1999, and the members said if this money is spent by a certain date, and then they then added it to another project that was being recommended with current funding.
So maybe if I could ask the question, I think it was being asked, after all of those cancellations, transfers, reallocations, is there any money left on the bottom line, I think is essentially what Minority Leader was asking. Is that what you're...
Mr. Marks, maybe he wants to share with the committee.
Okay, or Mr. Marks, maybe.
Mr. Chair, members, I believe there's a spreadsheet that Ms. Thornton prepared that's in your packets, and if you look at the top of the front page of that, it shows the expenditures in the bill as well as the funding available, and they are equal.
So basically the answer is that all available funds are being spent in the bill.
Mr. Chair, members, yes.
And the spreadsheet is this one right here, the top part of it, that Mr. Marks is looking at. Okay, any further discussion before we go to amendments? We have an A4 amendment and Representative Junkie. I'm just taking them in the order that they're here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move the A4 amendment. Members, this is what I do is take $50,000, about one-tenth of the amount appropriated for water resources studies for the control of common carp at the university, and put it towards a milfoil research project. And members, I want to give you a history on this and explain why I think this is extremely important to get this going and get this on. This is modeled after a bill that I introduced in 2007, and it did get hearings in the House and the Senate. And at that time, it was indicated that, you know, rather than continue to pursue it in last year's funding bill through the DNR, that perhaps this would be a better suited project for the LCCMR. And so, taking my cue, I asked the groups out there that were concerned about this, and around the state, frankly, on the milfoil, to go to the LCCMR and submit a request and, you know, get a hearing there and move forward, that would probably be seen as a favorable project. Well, members, and no deference to the staff who's sitting at the testifying stand right now, I can tell you when this project was submitted and a call was made by this group on how to go about getting the hearings and other things, they were flat out told by staff, well, CLCCMR will never do anything like this. You might as well forget it. And this was before anyone even had a chance to talk about the project. And so I was a little perplexed by that, but I thought no, and I made some calls personally to that staff person and others, and they assured me, okay, they'll be work with the group and give them the advice they need and get them going so that they can get before this committee. Well, again, as it turns out, with LCCMR, they said there were 118 projects submitted, but and they traveled the state to look at a lot of these projects. They heard a lot of testimony here at the Capitol. This project was never even given a hearing. And I find that extremely troubling, that you can't even get a hearing when you submit a project to a group like this. I mean, if we weren't getting hearings here, members, in committees, we'd be absolutely appalled and we'd be pounding our fists. And I just think that this committee needs to understand, or yeah, maybe the minority is doing that, I don't know. Not in my committee, but I hear every bill that everyone brings in that wants a hearing, and I think they should do the same. But anyway, back to the purpose of the bill and why I think this should move forward. Representative Heigerkin and I actually share Green Lake out in Candiac County. It's a relatively new lake with milfoil infestation. Now, I've been trying to work with the DNR, too, and as Representative Wagenius knows, they're doing absolutely zero, in my mind, to facilitate new methods and new techniques and new approaches to milfoil control and eradication in this state. It's the same old, you know, well, clean off your boat when it comes out, and we'll monitor the lake and tell you how much more is in the lake. And the only thing I see recently is hundreds of thousands of dollars of chemical being sprayed into Lake Minnetonka in an article the other day. And, you know, I think, you know, Representative Guineas, the CARP project is good, but honest to goodness, TARP has been here a long time. Milfoil is extremely troubling in this state. And I'm not asking this money to go to DNR. I'm asking to go to the U and perhaps establish a research program for milfoil. I think they have good people over there, and I think if we give them this Q, that land-grant university who should be doing this ought to be starting to pick up and do the work that the DNR, frankly, I don't think is doing at this point in time. You know, there's biological, mechanical, and other things that are emerging here and probably around the world. And rather than just wandering in the wilderness on milfoil control, I would suggest we take one-tenth of this, give it to the university. Again, they can seek additional funding in this, which, by the way, the Lake Association, the county out there, watershed districts, and others are willing to help out with funding. These people are desperate for help, not only at Green Lake, but around this state for milfoil control, and I think the LCCMR bill is exactly the place we should be starting that. So I would hope you look favorably on this. I'm not asking for a lot, but after this long and storied quest we've had for this, I feel this is my only chance right now to continue to try and do something for milfoil in the state of Minnesota.
Any discussion? Maybe with the author of the bill, Representative Wagenius.
Thank you. I share Representative Junkie's long and storied quest on invasive species. I think we're not doing a good job in this state of dealing with invasive species. I totally agree with that. What he is presenting to you, however, is not the bill that came to the proposal that came to LCCMR. That was a different proposal that didn't get very well rated, and only the top half of the folks, the proposals that were rated, did we go out and look at or hear in house. With regard to the studying of the Eurasian milfoil, I agree that needs to be done. In LCCMR this last year, we put out a request for proposals on invasive species, and we didn't get one from the U or DNR. A lot of us were very disappointed in that. Very disappointed. But I can tell you, this milfoil has been studied to some extent, and people didn't get very far. $50,000 is not going to do the job. It's going to take hundreds of thousands of dollars and a number of years, I would say a minimum of 4, to entice the university to hire the postdocs that you need to do to get this job done. I am a proponent, strong proponent, of biological control. And I think we should be, as a state, investing a lot more money in it. But this will not get the job done. I don't know what the number would be, but 400 comes to mind as a very minimal, and 4 years comes to mind as a very minimal, just to get that kind of research done. Now, that's on what we need for invasive. Let me tell you about the CARP project, folks. DNR has said nothing can be done about the CARP. And the University of Minnesota has taken on that project. And I've spent some time over there, and I think other members here have done that too. And they have found two, what you would call, two or three Achilles heels of CARP. And one, which it was folks kind of knew about, and that was that CARP are attracted to certain smells, highly attracted. You can move CARP in a lake with certain smells. That's one thing. There's a name for that. I can't pronounce it. The second thing that this study at the U found out about CARP is that while we thought there's a year-old CARP in the lake, a two-year-old CARP in the lake, a three-year-old CARP in the lake, a four-year-old CARP in the lake, that's not true. The ages of the CARP are very scattered. There may be a one-year-old, a seven- and eight-year-old, a 14-year-old, some up to 72-year-old, I think, was the oldest CARP still reproducing. That's the scary part. But I think the science at the U has found out the things about the CARP that are going to let us control the CARP. One of the pieces of this money, and the reason I don't want to take money from here, is we know that there are very bad new kind of CARP, not common CARP, coming up the Mississippi. And part of the money in this CARP proposal will be used for a barrier. It's St. Anthony Falls? It's St. Anthony Falls. And there was a proposal at LCCMR. There wasn't enough funding, one I liked a lot, but I was on the losing side of that, to do some work at St. Anthony Falls to keep the CARP from keep coming up. The new, you know, the very aggressive, and you all know about this, from coming all the way up into our lake. I do not want to take money from this particular proposal. I totally share Representative Junkie's desire to do biological control, and I, for one, on LCCMR, if I'm so lucky to be there next time, will ask again for requests for proposals for biological control. And this time, LCCMR members have been talking about staff to actually go to you and sit down and talk to them and say, can we get something done on these? It clearly these pond reads the same thing.
Okay, Representative Cole.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll try to be brief. Representative Junkie, I'm fine with your amendment. My only question is, do you have any idea if I see in the amendment that you've identified Green Lake in your district, Representative Hyde, your district, does doing the testing on Green Lake, 80, 85 miles from the University of Minnesota campus, I mean, is that going to increase the cost of doing the study? There's milfoil all over the state of Minnesota. There's a lot of lakes that are badly infected, even closer. And I don't have a problem. I agree with trying to do the study, but and I understand why you'd pick a lake in your district. But you know, does that increase the cost? Can we get a little more bang for the buck if we do it in the metro area?
Well, Mr. Chair, to represent Coles, and I have another comment. The reason I picked Green Lake is I don't want that infestation moving south to your lake, just a few miles down the road.
We got carp problems on my lake.
Yeah. So we'll take care of both of those things.
I mean, you're talking.
Easy now. I'm looking for votes here. So, no,
we'll
I
talk about the fish in your
No, I chose it because, frankly, they came forward and actually came forward with the Minnesota Lakes Association and testified last year that this would be a good lake to do because it's a relatively new infestation. It's not a lake that's already covered in mats of milfoil, and you're starting to see the movement, and it's a good place, I think, to understand once when milfoil gets in the lake initially, how do we put a stop to it. So that's why it was picked. And members, just to a couple of points, and again, Representative Guinness, I know and I agree on this issue, which is why I hope I can get her support. You know, again, the reason they didn't hear it is because it was not highly rated. Members, I think there's a huge process problem over in LCCMR to sit and somehow rate projects before you've even heard from the people what they are. You look on a piece of paper and you say, here's the project, without asking them if it can be modified or it, like I did here in this amendment or anything else. You know, to say it's not, it didn't get a hearing, actually, Representative Carlson, you sat with me on the deck of Green Lake. The LCCMR was out there and stayed at a hotel in Spicer, yet we couldn't have a hearing with this group when we were right there in the town where this request was asked for. I mean, it was truly amazing to me. And again, there's no reason, money shouldn't be the opposite. What this is doing is giving $50,000 as a signal to the U that this is important and we want them to initiate the research. I think this is plenty to get going, to start understanding what they need to do, and to hire a grad student to start work on it. I don't think that's a problem at all. In fact, at the university, I will mention, they apparently have no problem backfilling this $50,000 if they need for the CARP study, because they just hired a $400,000 attorney to fight the tunnel proposal for the light rail
to support it,
and an Eastern attorney when they have a law school full of attorneys at the U of M. So $400,000, they just hired an attorney from out east.
Well,
that's just a retainer. Okay. So, you know, it'd probably go up from there. So, you know, I don't think they have a problem backfilling this 50. And I really think the university should be coming forward next year with a proposal. And I think this lays the groundwork for them to do that, to understand, to do the research, to do the journal searches and other things needed. I think this is perfect to get this going and moves us into the next LCCMR cycle when we probably will need more money.
Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And to Representative Junkie's amendment, I have a lake that kind of made the papers last year, the Little Rock Lake, which has a severe problem with curly pondweed. Same invasive species. I know a couple of years ago we had talked about doing some of this work with a ferrous oxide treatment that I think is a new patented treatment that is it's not a chemical, it's an element, so it doesn't run into the same restrictions you do for treatment. So I think there is plenty of need throughout the state, and I think this is a great first step, and I appreciate you bringing the amendment forward.
Representative
Kahn. I didn't hear what Representative Peterson said. He said something was not a chemical, an element. What did you say it was?
Ferrous oxide.
Ferrous oxide. Yeah.
Basically, it's taconite tailings that are taken out.
I think the correct... In order to be an element, it has to appear on the periodic table of the elements, and I don't believe that does. I believe the correct word is that you might call it a chemical.
Thank you, Professor.
Tim Cornish.
Mr. Chair, I was just thinking that it might be a better amendment if you just struck the words to be tested on Green Lake County, Oconee, and just left at $50,000 per study. It would end at accelerate research and new approaches to control Eurasian water milfoil, and then end there. But it's up to you, but the study would still be done. Maybe that lake wouldn't be conducive to the type of experimentation, whatever they come up with, or, you know, the topography of the lake or whatever. They might want to pick another one.
And Representative Cornish, the reason I have it in there is the Lake Association and the county have already agreed that they'll put some matching dollars in here. So I know there's money for study on this lake in addition to the 50. So 50 is just the base, and there will be solicitations out there for additional matching funds, and they've agreed to that.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Rukavina, let's see, Representative Rukavina, you've got the A7 amendment.
I have the A7 amendment, Mr. Chair. And what the A7 amendment would do would be to fund
a project that I think could be very important and exciting for the state. You know, currently our mines dewater their pits. They have to pump out, in some cases, millions of gallons of water a day. And we have the terrain up in northeastern Minnesota, because most of these mines sit on the Laurentian Divide, to look at, and that's what this does, to look at the study as they're pumping this water out, to pump it up into hydro storage type holding area, and then during the day or whenever utilize that energy for hydroelectric power. We have 25 megawatts, I think they're the biggest propeller blades now in the country that are going up right now. Three of them are completed out of 10 at MINPAC, and you know, this study would look at utilizing, when they're not being able to use that energy in the system, using it to pump this up and doing it in an environmentally sound way. And I just think it's an exciting project, and Minnesota Power is willing to work with Great River Energy, and the City of Mount Iron already has a seabed, I think, set up through their Economic Development Authority. The City of Bowabic has done a study on this a few years back, so, and has the perfect terrain in place for this, so I'm offering this amendment. You know, as we try to strive for our 25% of our energy being renewable in 2025, these are the types of issues that I think the LCCMR should be looking at. So I'd appreciate your support on this. The money comes from the emerging issue account, which I think this is really is an emerging issue. And what was a an appropriation back in 1999 that never was used to the DNR. So I appreciate your support.
Okay, motion is before us. Rep. Mulligania.
Well, I know a little bit about milfoil. I know nothing about this project. It didn't come before the LCCMR. I do think we need to ask some folks about the money that's coming from lines 121 and 127, and I think that is in Representative Hansen's district. Am I correct about that?
Maybe you better come forward. If you're responding to questions, it's probably important that it should be picked up on the tape. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. And I'm intrigued by Representative Rukavina's proposal. I'm sure I'll hear more about it if I'm sitting next to him on the floor. But the problem with this amendment is where the money comes from. And it's relating to an acquisition around Chubb Lake in Eureka Township in Dakota County. It's not in my district, but I serve as the chair of the Dakota County delegation. And the challenge in the past few years with this property acquisition has been there have been differences of opinion among the heirs in terms of the selling. And currently, the appraisal is going on. There is the opportunity to get these adjoining properties along Chubb Lake to complete the wildlife management area. So I would ask that you not take those funds, because we're about at the cusp of achieving that acquisition. And Representative Garofalo can maybe add more to that.
Representative Garofalo, I'll let Rukavina go first.
Hey, no, go ahead. Rukavina. You know,
Mr. Chairman.
Whichever one is, Representative Garofalo.
I'm Mr. Chairman, and Representative Hansen, thanks for your work on this. It does affect my district, and this is part of a regional plan involving the only trophy-designated trout stream that I know about in an urban area in the 7-county metro here and across the nation. Significant development pressures exist around the Vermilion River. We've had some problems in the past with Elko and New Market dumping raw sewage into this. We're constantly working with local units of government to try to protect what is really a jewel in the metro area. And, you know, Representative Rukavina, I don't know, maybe I'm just a little bit grumpy this morning or something, but I don't know why you, and I would exclude Representative Hansen from these comments, but why do you guys hate Dakota County so bad? What did we ever do to you? Now, you come up here, you try dumping the deed tax on us when we got mortgage foreclosures going through the roof. You try raising the property taxes through expanding the transit taxing district on the residents of my townships and the cities I represent.
Russell, maybe we should stay on the amendment.
Well,
we've got several right here.
Well, now you come down. I'll buy you dinner sometime. I'll show you the Vermilion River. This is an important project. I'll show you Chubb Lake. This is good stuff. It's part of a regional plan. This ties into the Butler Wildlife, the Butler land acquisition. I don't know why you didn't talk to me about it. I would have came, my wife makes awesome pasta and meatballs, Representative Rukavina. We could have showed it to you. You never would have offered this amendment if you saw it firsthand. You never would have.
Mr. Chair,
Representative
Garofalo, I asked independent House Research to find me some money at the LCMR that wasn't being used and wouldn't hurt anybody, and there was this money that was sitting there since 1999. I did not know that it was added on as a bonus to the $440,000 you're getting in the bill for this acquisition, that this $150,000 was added on as a bonus. And so I told Representative Wagenius yesterday on the floor what I was going to do, and she told me that. So I love Dakota County, and I love you. You know, if you want to talk about a hating thing, why are we constantly singled out for everything? Our local property taxes at IRRRB, we got to come here and beg like poor paupers for our own money, and you people constantly make hay out of it anytime. So don't talk to me about unfairness.
Mr. Chair,
I'll change that then, because I didn't know.
Let's stay on the amendment.
Mr. Chair, I didn't know. I asked for a place where there was money that wasn't going to hurt anybody, or a place where there was money which was a ridiculous expenditure, which was most of this bill, I might add. You know, I've sat with you, Mr. Chair, and you represent Wagenius, and if you folks want to come and watch something, come and watch the citizens' pork as good or better than any legislator in this legislature. Which gets me to some off on the subject about the hunting and fishing amendment and a citizens' committee there, which at least will be only advisory, which is what the LCCMR citizens used to be until we changed it a couple years ago at the insistence of your governor, who, by the way, has a 5 appointments all voted against them on his Vermilion Park project. Be that as it may. But I look in here at all of this stuff, and I see it's nothing but funding for the DNR, the PCA, the University of Minnesota. And I'm curious, as a matter of fact, as I see my friend Mr. Myers, who seems to be sliding down the steps as I'm talking, what kind of administrative costs come out of this for the DNR and all these other agencies and the university, when I see, you know, we'll take a page, line 14.2 on page 14, $250,000 from the trust fund to the Commissioner of Natural Resources to accelerate the native shoreline buffer incentive program through market research. How much does administrative costs come out of that? Line 14.31, $1.6 million from the trust fund for the county geologic atlas to the Board of Regents. How much do the Board of Regents take on administrative costs out of all of this? You know, you can go through this whole bill and say this. So, Representative Garofalo and Representative Hanson, I apologize. I just asked where there was money that wasn't being used. It had nothing to do with Dakota County. So instead of that, I'll find $150,000 out of the, on page 19.12, to provide student-focused grants to high school, college, and universities to identify their carbon footprint, although I think there's a better place for me to find it, which would be on page...
Why don't we do this?
Take somebody else's amendment. Let me find
that's what I was
the most absurd $150,000 I can find in the bill, and we can get on with it.
Representative Rukavina withdraws this amendment, and is going to resubmit it, apparently, with different sorts of funds. So the next one, the next one has been withdrawn. So we're down to... Oh, you didn't withdraw. I thought that you said you withdrew it. Oh, Representative Clark, this is the 1733 amendment. Representative Clark.
Sure, I wanted a chance to explain the amendment, and then I have the same problem in terms of where the money is coming from, and this came to me kind of at the last minute, so I just at least wanted to have a chance just to put on the table to discuss it. And I talked with Representative Bouguinius, who doesn't favor it, so I'm not going to push it, but I do want to just have a brief explanation of what it is, Mr. Chairman and members. Maybe we'll be able to find another place for it. Basically, what this amendment does is it actually reclaimed half of an original grant that was in the LCMR for the biomass wood-burning plant that is being proposed in the Phillips neighborhood. That is on a road where I think it's not going to be approved because of the problems that it causes in the community with the particulates and very serious health problems, and the PCA is looking at the cumulative health impact and other legislation. But what we were hoping to do is to try to see if there is some way to make what's kind of a lemon into some lemonade by trying to see if there was either alternative uses, alternative designs, or other places where that particular project might be located. And the idea was to have it be a more suitable location, or creating heat and energy that was not damaging to the health of the population. Mr. Chairman, I wanted a chance to explain it to the committee and to indicate that originally this did have a $500,000 appropriation that actually went back into this whole fund, so that it seemed like asking for half of it back would be reasonable. I am talking with you, Mr. Chairman. It looks like there's nothing available that's on the bottom line right now, and I need to try to find that, similar to what Representative Rizzavina is saying. So at this point, Mr. Chairman, unless there's any clarifying questions from people, I guess I'll withdraw the amendment until I can figure out where it can come from.
Okay. So you're withdrawing the amendment at this point, and the bill, of course, will be out on the House floor if you're looking for additional funds that you haven't identified at this point. Okay, amendment is withdrawn, because all of the dollars, as we mentioned before, in the bill are spent. So if you are offering amendments, it does take a reallocation of dollars from other designated programs.
I just wanted to say, I would like to ask the expertise of those who have worked on this to help me look at that later, including the author of the bill.
Okay. Mr. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, I'm trying to understand what's in the bill itself concerning this project. I went back to the laws of 2006, Chapter 34, which is identified on line 12.6, section 20. And it says in that section 20, I believe it is, that there was an appropriation of $250,000 in 06 and $250,000 in 07 for the energy cooperative for the biomass project. And that's $500,000. My question is twofold. Has any of that money been expended? And right now it seems to be you're transferring it to some other project. And then my third question is, what happens to the project?
I think Representative Solberg, this one was withdrawn.
It's in the bill itself.
I thought they changed their direction. Well, Ms. Thornton, maybe you or Representative Wagenius. I thought this was one that changed direction.
Is this one that was withdrawn?
Pardon?
Is this one that was withdrawn?
He's not asking.
No, I'm not asking about the one that's the Clark Amendment that was withdrawn. I'm asking about the bill itself. Lines 11.32 to 12.12 in the bill. They're taking the appropriation for this biomass project from the Phillips Neighborhood Biomass Community Energy System, and as I understand it, you're transferring the $500,000 to this other appropriation, which is for the Trust Fund for the Board of Regents, University of Minnesota, to research and evaluate method of mass managing diverse working prairies for wildlife and renewable energy projects.
Ms. Parsons?
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, and members, there was the 2006 appropriation was to the Department of Department of Commerce for an agreement with the Phillips Community Energy Cooperative for $500,000, and the intent there was that it would assist in the construction of the biomass facility in the Phillips community, although it never was specified in the appropriation language. It just said towards the construction, I believe, or development of a biomass.
Mr. Chair, what it says in 2006, it says 2,500 in fiscal 06 and 2,507 to the Commissioner of Commerce, agreement with the Phillips Community Energy Cooperative to assist in the distribution system equipment and construction costs for a biomass district energy system. And this appropriation is contingent upon all appropriate permits being obtained and signed commitment of financing for the biomass electric generating facility being in place. My question is any of that has been spent? Why are we canceling it and appropriating it to another particular fund? And what's happened to the project?
Ms.
Chair, Representative Solberg, and members, this was a project, yes, it was appropriated in the 2006 legislative session. It had previously been vetoed in the 2005 legislative session at a different dollar amount. There had been no, we had been meeting over time with staff and the Phillips Community Energy Cooperative, also with Canada-Yohai Partnership and others that were involved in it. And last December, we had had no reports, no updates formally given to us. Last December, in conversation with them, we said, are you going to continue with the project? Because there's been no activity towards getting this funding spent. In December, at the commission's meeting, they came in and declined. The Phillips Community Energy Cooperative came in and actually declined the $500,000 appropriation. The commission at its meeting in we were looking at the mix of dollars and so forth. We had had peer review on a number of research projects, and for three of those research projects that are in the package, the peer review panel had recommended that actually the funding, we have a more complete research project if the funding could possibly be increased. The members increased the funding on three research projects. It all ended up on this one, the $500,000, and it was simply for ease of drafting, but it went, so it's just in the mix of the funds. So they declined the appropriation, and the commission then chose to transfer it to another proposal that was in front of them.
So, Mr. Chair, just one other question. Maybe this is one that you can't answer. With the decline of the appropriation, does that mean that the project is going forward yet? With other sources?
Yeah. Ms. Parsons.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, members, I know what I read in the newspaper.
The newspaper sign. I don't have time.
Okay. So I don't know where that project, the overall biomass project, is right now. I've sat through some of the hearings where there have been also discussions here.
Very good. Thank you.
As a member of LCCMR, it's my recollection that project had been, well, that's what I was meaning earlier, withdrawn. And I think you're saying then that we reallocated it.
That's right.
Just trying to remember for another project not related to this one. Is that correct, Ms. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah. Yes.
And when you talk about the drafting, that's probably what's leading to a little bit of that confusion. Well, at any rate, it's been the amendment by Representative Clark has been withdrawn. Representative Lukman.
At this point, though, and I'm curious, too, because I was at the, I had a bill up. Actually, just you gave me an informational hearing on it the night that Representative Clark was offering an amendment to dealing with this project. It's the same project, and the person from Candy Ojai, whatever it is, Energy or whatever, and I know the lobbyist quite well who's working on this project, testified against it, and they're still going ahead on this project, aren't they? Or at least they are trying to. There's no fires?
Yeah, I can just set a little light. The ownership has changed. The original project here was for the Phillips Community Energy Cooperative, which is a nonprofit, and the intellectual property rights were bought by Candy Ojai, which is what I had in my amendment. So it's a different organization owning it, doing the work, and they're, where they are in the process right now is seeking the permits from the Minnesota Public Control Agency, which is what my bill put some conditions on that had to do with environmental justice. So that's all in process. And I was hoping, I didn't know if all of the money had been sent, and actually I hadn't seen this line in here until just now. My understanding that all of the money has been reallocated. Is that correct?
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Rufino, and this is probably a good segue into back to my amendment, because if you look at what is going on here, you have biofuels production, wildlife conservation, working for $250,000 to go to page 11 on this previously. It's from the Trust Fund of the Board of Regents of the University of Minnesota to research and evaluate methods of managing diverse working areas for wildlife and renewable bioenergy production. So, you know, there's a lot of research and looking at things instead of actually getting things accomplished. I think this would probably be a good pace for me to get $150,000 of the $500,000, and rather than have the University of Minnesota looking at things, we could actually do something that accomplishes renewable energy. And so if I could have, since they're canceling this project, and by the way, you know, there's biomass electrical generation going on all over the state. I don't know what the university has to study other than how to work bioenergy into, you know, research, but maybe I could make a motion that that the $150,000 that formerly was coming out of lines 1.21 to 1.27 come out of this $500,000 in debt.
And that's which line, Representative Rufino, on page 11?
Yeah, on page 12, then.
Page 12.
I would take $150,000 of the $500,000 appropriation, and instead of studying about bioenergy, which we've done a lot of studying on, we'll actually look at this project, which I think could save us a lot of.
You're deleting Representative Rufino, $350,000 on that line,
right?
And
adding language, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a little more complicated than that. Mr. Marks, have you had a chance to look at what he's attempting to do? Or Ms. Novak, one of you. They have a better alternative for you, Representative Rukavina.
Do they? Well, I'm more than willing to entertain any of
Okay, Representative Raffel, are you on this amendment or on the Clark issue?
Oh, no, I was going to re-invite Representative Rukavina down to my district anyways, since he was nice enough to withdraw his amendment. I was going to invite him down for pasta meatballs anyways.
Oh, Representative Raffel, I think it would be more appropriate for you to invite the committee down.
Oh. Well, I'd have to ask my wife about that, Mr. Chairman. That seems perfectly reasonable.
Do you have a big house?
No, we can go to the Long Branch Saloon and Eatery, though.
But then we're expecting a nice summer. That could be done in the garden.
We'll get working on that, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair,
it's only 40 people plus staff, so I'm sure that you want to give a little notice to.
I'm sure the committee's got some. I'm sure the committee's got some extra money in its budget, Mr. Chairman. We could take care of that, right?
Well, I don't think that'd be a committee appropriate committee expenditure. Well, let's see, Representative Anderson. Passes. And Representative Wagenius.
Well, I'll just tell you a little bit about the project to take the money from.
I think Representative Wagenius, he's going to a different place.
Oh, he's going to a different place.
No, I'm going to the same place.
Oh, you are going to the same place. Yeah. Okay, well, then Representative Wagenius, I thought he was going somewhere else. But
as you all have heard about, and maybe not so much in this committee, but clearly in the committees of agriculture and environment, we have talked a lot about raising having biofuels from native prairies. Because if you do that, you can actually be carbon negative, not adding carbon to the atmosphere, but actually taking carbon from the atmosphere. It's probably the most sophisticated of ways that we can deal with the carbon project in Minnesota. It's particularly interesting because you can do it on non-corn land, lands that are marginal. The problem that folks are running into, because I think it's something that I have heard strong consensus that we want to go to in Minnesota, is there is a way to manage it that you can also have the wildlife. You're getting a threefer. You're wanting to use it, pull carbon out of the air. You have a fuel, and you have wildlife. Other people will tell you that you actually get more benefits than that. But those are the big three. We don't know how, at this point, how to do it because we've never done it. And so when this proposal, this was from Clarence Lehman at the University of Minnesota, who's a professor there, came in, his proposal, I believe, was like for $1.5 million. It's much bigger than this. And LCCMR did not have the money until this other proposal was withdrawn, essentially. So in order for him to have a workable project and get the kind of science we know we need in order to say, okay, you can raise the biofuel, how do you raise them? When do you take them so you keep the habitat so our hunters and folks who just enjoy the outdoors can have the wildlife? So that's what you're taking the money from if you take it from here.
Okay, I think the amendment has been prepared by staff, and I assume then that the author is comments were against the potential amendment. Ms. Novak, if you want to explain the amendment, make sure everybody has it down.
Mr. Chairman and members, on the A7 amendment, it would be to delete on page 1, lines 3 and 4, and then insert a new line that says page 11, line 34, delete 250,000. And insert 100,000, and that's to the bill. And on page 1, line 7 of the amendment, delete 100,000 and insert 250,000. And on page 1, line 21, delete everything after the period, and delete lines 22 to 27.
Everybody have that?
Do they also have the line, delete line 2.1 and 2.3?
Ms. Novak?
No, because that's on the emergency.
Why don't you walk it through us a second time just to make sure everybody has it. And then, members, we are scheduled to go in at noon for a session.
Mr. Chairman, on the amendment, delete lines 3 and 4. Insert a new line that says, to the bill, page 11, line 34, delete 250,000 and insert 100,000. On the amendment, line 7, delete 100,000 and insert 250,000. And delete on line 21, everything after the period, and delete lines 22 to 27.
Okay, everybody have that now. Representative Rukavina, did you want to move that amendment?
Yes.
Okay, Representative Rukavina moves the amendment. Representative Fuller.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, to help me understand, Representative Rukavina, the original appropriation for this was $250,000. Was that part of the recommendations from the LCCMR before the other $500,000 became available in January or December?
No.
Representative Logani.
If I recall correctly, the recommendation was actually for quite a bit more than that, quite a bit more than 250. It was 500, if I remember correctly. So it was an original request of $1.5 million, and then the add-on wasn't it. This is just the way it happened in the bill. But I think originally the LCCMR recommended 500,000. Am I correct about that? Yes. 500,000.
Mr. Chairman, then Representative Rukavina's amendment then brings it back to the original recommendation. Is that correct?
That is correct. And LCCMR was fully aware that that recommendation was not workable.
Representative Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think Representative Rukavina lowering that amount, it's for working with... it's for working prairie and biomass production, and I think that is important, and I think Representative Rukavina thinks it's important too, and I would give my if I'm here and if I'm still chairman of the Agriculture Finance Committee next year, we are again going to update the Ag Special from $55 million. It goes to university, and in our committee we actually direct where that money will go, and with the help of Representative Rukavina, who's finance chair of the U, I'm happy to put a focus on some of these things because I think they are emerging and I think they should be in the Ag Special. And so I guess I'd ask at this point that it's okay to reduce it by that small amount. I'd like to put more than that in because I think we are at a point now, University of Minnesota Morris, we're actually harvesting CRP out there now and hauling it in for their future biomass burger. There's stacks out there already for the next year. And the DNR and the feds are actually already starting to manage our working prairies out there for this stuff. And so I think it's important. But, I think this project is equally as important for bioenergy. And Representative Rukavina is on the LCCMR, so I know this is something that came in late, I understand, or he would have had it before you. But I think it's an appropriate project for LCCMR, but equally so I think we should be focusing, both Representative Rukavina and myself, in our committees, on putting more money towards that when we do the Ag Special next year.
Representative Logani.
Well, Representative Junkie, I appreciate that concern. In addition to those things that you mentioned, when we did the bonding bill, we said that land could be used for harvesting also for cellulose. And we did a lot of it. The problem is we don't know exactly when to do it. And so if we are going to move in a major way to biofuels on marginal land, we just need to know more how to do it. And I think it's something everybody in the state wants because it has a couple of added benefits. If you use native prairie, and you have a complex native prairie, and that is more than one species, you can actually draw carbon out of the air, put it in the roots where it will stay. It's a fascinating hopeful thing that Minnesota can do. And we haven't moved fast enough on it. And one of the stumbling blocks is we just don't know all the science yet. So if this amendment is adopted, then I'm going to hold Representative Junkie to his word.
Or is I? I think it's important for this committee to understand, and I'd like to be very brief, but what the LCCMR process is, how you advertise, if you will, for projects to come in, how they're presented, how they're reviewed, the peer review. If you could just do that in a few words so people understand the development of these projects that are before us, because there is a rather lengthy process that takes place, and some people on the committee are more familiar than some others, and I think that's important to know. Ms. Thornton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The commission issued an RFP that was open to everybody. It had with
targeted priorities in it, and that was due last September 4th. 118 proposals were received. The commission reviewed all of those and decided collectively of those 118 received to request 63 of them come in to present additional information. And for the $22 million approximately available, the 63 that we had more information on was totaled about $98 million. So we still had a wide array of proposals in front of us at a dollar amount much higher. The commission went through several of many days of proposal hearings where we asked the proposers of those 63 to come in, present their project, have an opportunity for question and answer. And then, again, collectively the commission made their recommendation, as you know, with having to leave many excellent projects behind and not be able to fund, but also trying to fund projects so that we didn't just fund three sides of a building. We didn't fund any buildings, pardon me, but just so that you actually had a whole project. Research projects are required to be peer-reviewed. We had a peer-review panel come in, again, had the researchers present those projects. And the goal of our peer review on research is to improve the project, comment on the methodology, give feedback to the project managers, the PIs, and also to the commission members. As a result of that peer review, a number of the research projects before them, the commission of that $500,000 recommended three of them would be more complete. If additional dollars were to be available, that the commission consider recommending additional dollars to those projects. When the $500,000 appropriation from 2006 was declined, that's what the commission did in taking that advice of that peer review panel. And also, in addition, as Representative Junkie said, the commission goes out around the state and talk in evaluating current projects, seeing what maybe some future projects might be, an opportunity to work and listen to different people in the state on what they view as the most pressing natural resource issues before them.
Okay, I think I just wanted people that maybe weren't that familiar with LCCMR to have an understanding of the process so that Representative Mahoney was next on the list
to this point.
So Representative Mahoney.
And I have a few things to the particular point here on one for the LCCMR and one for Representative Rukavina. Listening to your particular comments from the LCCMR, this is an emerging technology. I talked to somebody 2 years ago. I recommended that they put a bill in front of my committee, the Emerging Technologies Committee. Never heard a word from anyone on this. I mean, is it a closed club? Do they not want to come in front of my committee and explain themselves? If I'm going to have to start looking at everything the LCCMR does when it goes into doing new research, that's fine. I guess I can do that and require the LCCMR bill to come in front of the Emerging Technologies Committee. I don't have a real problem with that. It'd just be a little late in the process. But as a question to Representative Rukavina, could you please tell me this particular project, are you creating electrical power?
That's what we're going to do, Mr. Chair. Representative Mahoney, yes.
Okay,
hydro storage.
Can I finish the question? If you are creating electrical power, who are you selling the power to?
Back, Mr. Chairman, Ruthman, back to the grid.
Back to the grid. So someone is buying the product. It's a profit-making particular industry, correct?
Mr. Chair, what we're trying to do with this is to see, because they're pumping millions of gallons of water a day, if because of the height differences, you end up not losing energy but saving energy, and then it would be sold back to the grid.
Actually, I've heard the bill in workforce development 2 years ago when Representative Sertich carried it. I heard it in bonding committee. My question is this a profit-making industry? And if so, who's paying? Why are we paying for it and not the shareholders of Great River Energy and Minnesota Power.
Mr. Chair, they will be putting money into it too, because it will cost a lot. But I just want to say this, I don't support the citizens being on the LCMR, and I've made that perfectly clear at the meeting. The staff knows that. Representative Wagenius is there. You're there. You've heard me. There's no constitutionality, and that's why in law this bill has to come back to the legislature. Representative Wagenius changed the bill in her committee, and when Representative Wagenius changed the bill, because there were certain things she didn't like and she lost in committee, I figured I could change the bill.
Mr. Chair?
And because there are certain things in this bill I don't like, Mr. Chair. So the process is the process, but the fact of the matter is we're the legislature, and we're the ones in the Constitution that raise and appropriate and spend money.
That's why it's here. I just wanted members, though, to understand what the process is. I didn't want to get into the debate.
And there are a lot of things in this bill that I,
or the commission,
people should really take a close look at. I mean, we're looking at a $950 million deficit, and we're, doing songbird things again for the 10th year or whatever, and we're doing all kinds of studies, and we're digitalizing the DNR's easement process, which has been going on for a long time. I don't know, what that's going to cost for toys, new toys. We're buying equipment for the Department of Agriculture that they probably should have. There's all kinds of things in this bill that I don't really think accomplish the goal of the citizens thought they were doing when they created the Environmental Trust Fund. So, I'll pull the amendment because it's getting late and we got to go over a session. But when this bill gets to the floor, I'm going to find $250,000. So this is an important project, and this is exactly why the Environmental Trust Fund was created. As I said, Mr. Chair and others, look through this thing. And I want to know, Ms. Thornton, how much gets pulled out by every one of these state and university agencies getting money for administrative and overhead costs. I want that figure before this bill is taken up on the floor. I'll pull the amendment.
Okay, the amendment has been withdrawn. Representative Mahoney?
Yes, I was just going to recommend that Representative Rukavina take that one big red poster in his office down if he's going to start helping big business make more money.
Okay, Representative Wagenius?
Yes. I would ask the committee if instead of funding Representative Junkie's project from the CARP project, that we take it from the emergency issues account. Would that be all right with you, Representative Junkie?
We could do that. It made much for me.
I don't have a problem with that.
I just thought it was an invasive with the CARP and it was the appropriate spot. But, and again, for researchers, I asked that question. But if you think there's a better spot,
I think
I'm happy to do that now, or make the correction in Ways and Means when we go through.
Well,
I think we should do it here, and I think Representative Junkie, that would be probably a reasonable compromise to accomplish your goal. And
I'll adhere to the
Mr. Chairman,
sounds like that's a technical correction. Can we make the motion to do that and pass the bill without having the exact language in front of us?
Ms. Novak.
Mr. Chair, we can make that as a technical amendment.
Okay, and I'd adopt that technical amendment.
Okay, that motion is before us that it be adjusted then to come from the emerging issues account. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. We now have the bill before us, Senate File 2492, the second engrossment to be recommended to pass as amended and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any further discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed.
No.
Motion carried. And remember, members, the floor session is probably starting about an hour earlier, and I just want to, for those that remain, this may be our last meeting, and say thank you, but this is a committee that could conceivably be reconvened in the final hours as well. With that, meeting adjourned.